The Gemara. There are many reasons given why the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. And the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat lists some, Daf Kuf Yud Tet Amud Bet, but I wanted to quote another Gemara at the top of the page, Masechet Baba Metzia, Daf Pehei Amud Bet. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Mai Dichtiv, what does the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu mean? Mi Ha'ish Hechacham V'Yavein Et Zot. Va'asher Dibir Pi Hashem Elav V'Yagida Alma Havda Ha'aretz. Why was the land lost, so to speak? Davar Ze Amru Chachamim V'Lo Pirshuhu. It wasn't really explained. Amru Nevi'im V'Lo Pirshuhu. Not clear, according to this Gemara, why did the Beit HaMikdash get destroyed? Ad shepirshu hakadosh baruch hu abiatzmo sheneemar, the rest of the pasuk. Vayomer Hashem al azvam et torati asher natati lifnehem, they left my Torah. Now, when you're learning Gemara, you have to remember that the people quoting the Gemara quote psukim lahavdil elef alfei havdalot, like we quote phone numbers or we quote inside jokes. Lahavdil elef alfei havdalot. If I quote, hey, remember when Devorah did that? Oh, yes. Now, we both know what I'm talking about, but a third party wouldn't know. Sometimes when we're learning Gemara, we're like third parties, because we don't know the rest of the pasuk. But they're quoting the whole pasuk. It's just that it's a code word. As a matter of fact, almost always the main part is what's not quoted. So I put in brackets the rest of the pasuk, and because we're going to come back to that. And it's clearly what they're talking about. Vayomer Hashem al ozvam et torati asher natati lifnehem v'lo shamu v'koli v'lo halchu ba. They left my Torah that I gave them. They didn't listen to my voice, and they didn't follow the Torah. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, what does that mean? Shelo Barchu Batorah Tchila. They didn't say Birchot HaTorah. For not saying Birchot HaTorah, the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Shehakol Nir Bidvaro. Okay. In case there's a blackout again, I'm taking care of. So I'll follow my lead. Okay. Yeah, exactly. We have to ask a number of questions on this Gemara. First of all, not making a bracha. Lasok b'divrei Torah asher bachar banu. That's bad. But that destroys the Beit HaMikdash. That's hard to believe. Hard to understand, maybe I'll say. Hard to understand. Question number two. As I mentioned, the Torah didn't quote the whole pasuk. The Gemara didn't quote the whole pasuk. The Gemara quoted the beginning of the pasuk. So the Gemara really read, Vayomer Hashem al ozvam et torati asher natati lifnehem, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, shelo berchu batorah tchila. So I want to understand the connection between the first part of the pasuk and the second part that wasn't quoted. Basically, the pasuk goes, Vayomer Hashem, they did not make Birchot HaTorah, V'lo Shamu V'Koli V'lo Halchuva. What is the connection between that? You're telling me that Al Ozvam Et Torati Asher Natat Lifnehem means Shalo Berchu Batorah Tchila, but then what about the rest of the pasuk? How is that connected to V'lo Shamu V'Koli? I do all the mitzvot in the entire Torah, none of the Lota assays and all the assays. I just didn't make a bracha in the beginning of my Torah learning. Why are they connected? You forget to say Birchot HaTorah one morning, and you're going to go, Chas V'Shalom Bimachal Shabbos. You're going to go rob a bank because you didn't make a bracha on Torah? You learned Torah more than anybody else in the world. You're not going to go do... You didn't make a bracha. Okay, question number three. Question number three is based on the next Gemara. Elsewhere in Shas, the Gemara gives another reason for the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. The Gemara says, second source down, Masechet Yoma Daf Tet Amud Bet, Mikdash Rishon Mipnei Ma Charav, or Charev, Mipnei Shlosha Dvarim Chayubo. You know these. Avodah Zara, Gilui Arayot, Ushvichut Damim. So, which is it? So you could say it's a machloket in the Gemara. You can say that one was a Yudah Merav and one is not. And that's fine. Nobody, this is not like we're the same person saying two different things. But I wonder if there is a connection between these two Gemaras. So far we have three questions. Is it really possible that the first Beit HaMikdash is destroyed because we didn't make a bracha? Number two, what is the connection between not making a bracha and v'lo shamu v'koli v'lo halchuva? And third, is there a connection between the reason that you and I know, Gili Arayot, Shvichu Dami, Manavot Zara, is there a connection between that and not making a bracha? Various Rishonim and Achronim grapple with the perplexing Gemara at the top of the page. It doesn't seem to make sense. I don't get how the Torah would tell us, how the Navi would tell us, how the Gemara would tell us that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because of not making a bracha. Rashi says the following, it's the third source down. Rashi says, V'keivan delo mevarche, and since they didn't make a bracha, galya datayhu, literally it means they revealed their minds, which means that they showed their intentions, they showed their thoughts very clearly. She'eina matana chashuva lahem. It is not a special gift. If I gave you a tissue, you'd say thank you. If I gave you $10,000, you'd say, oh my gosh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I can't, you think about it forever. So if you think the gift I'm giving you is worth $10,000, you'll thank me this way. If you think the gift I'm giving you is worth a half a penny, you'll thank me another way, or if at all. It's a tissue, after all. It's not the biggest deal in the world. And says Rashi, that was the problem. Well, once, and that may answer all of our questions. Once you don't think that the Torah is special, once you don't think that the gift that God gave us is the greatest gift that the infinite can give the finite, then why should I listen to God? And why should I follow His ways? You're right. I forget one time to say a bracha, it's bad, but come on. But if I systematically do not make a bracha, that is reflective on what I really think. And that is only a short jump to lo shamu v'koli v'lo halchuva. And frankly, it's a short jump to all the other terrible averot in our third question from the Gemara Masecha Yoma. Murder is really, really bad. Unless you think it's not. Avodah Zarah is really, really bad. Unless nobody told you to not. Yeah, there was this book that I got from my bar mitzvah sitting on a shelf somewhere collecting dust. Somebody told me in there that you shouldn't, commit adultery. But that doesn't mean anything to me. It's an old, ancient text. It's completely meaningless. So what's the big deal? To the point where you can have websites that help people commit every one of these averot. Baruch Hashem for the internet and Baruch Hashem for apps. There are websites that help you, not accidentally, if by you driven to kill somebody, that will help you do all these three things. Why not? Nobody told me not to. And that perhaps is one answer explaining this Gemara. It's reflective of how I feel. The Ran Rabbeinu, that's the next source down. The next source down is the Ran, Rabbeinu Nisim of Girona. Major, major Rishon, the Ran, Rabbeinu Nisim. He died in 1380. Major, relatively early Rishon. On the Gemara that we quoted in the Durin, he quotes Rabbeinu Yona. Rabbeinu Yona of Girondi, who died in 1253. So the Ran quotes Rabbeinu Yona. And he says something similar. Kilomar. In other words, Shelo haita haTorah chashuva be'enihem kol kach. Sheyehe ra'ui livarech aleha. You want to drink on some great crystal light. That I understand. You want to make a bracha on a new suit. A new dress. That's nice. I love getting nice clothing. But the Torah, all right. Shelo hayu oskim balishma. Why should I learn Torah if it's not important? Umitoch kach hayu mezalzim bevirchata. Says Rabbeinu Nisim, this wasn't an accident. The bracha, again, similar to Rashi, the bracha reflects value. The bracha reflects chashivut. The Bach, the next source down. I'm not going to read the whole Bach. The Bach is named, the Bach stands for the Bait Chadash. Bait Chadash, a major. You cannot learn the tour without learning the Bach. The Bach is named Rav Yoel Sirkis. I think in English it's not spelled Sirkis, it's spelled S-I-R-K-I-S. Rav Yoel Sirkis, who died in 1640. The Bach, An Orachaim. Simin Mem Zayin. That's the Simin in Or HaChaim, dealing with Birchot HaShachar Ushar HaBrachot, says the Bach. V'ikalitmoa tuva. Lama yatsa kazot milafanav lahanisham beonesh gadol varam kazeh. He's asking our question, what is the big deal? The major punishment. Al shalo berchu batarat chila. First line. Shehulich ora aveira kala. It's an aveira. But I mean, says the Bach. Second line. He's responding to the tour. Venire tekavanato itbarach meolam haita shenihye oskim batora. Says the Bach, we learn Torah. It was God's plan for us to learn Torah. Excuse me. Kedei shetit atzem nishmatenu biatzmut v'ruchaniyut ukedushat makor motzei Torah. We're supposed to learn Torah lishma to enrich us, to enlighten our neshama, to raise us up, to uplift us. V'lachein natan, third line down. V'lachein natan akadosh baruch hu Torat emet li Yisrael b'matana. Shelo tishtakach me'itanu. For sure. Now I'm skipping down three lines. It's the fourth line from the bottom. Aval ata, towards the end a little bit. Fourth line from the bottom, aval ata. I didn't number this source, I apologize. Fourth line from the bottom. Well, not including the aveirata. Sorry. The fourth full line down from the bottom, aval ata, towards the end. Aval ata. She'avru chok zeh, she'lo asku ba'torah, ki'im letzorech hadvarim hagashmi'im lahanatam. Says the Bach, when you don't make a bracha, you reflect, you know why you're learning? For your own benefit. A, leida hadinim letzorech masau matan. I need to know, I got to sell my meat, I have to sell my shoes, I have to do business. I have to know how to act. I want to build an extension on my yard. Will it impact my neighbor? Will he complain to me? So I got to know halacha, or else they're going to complain to me. Or gam lehit gaot leharot chokhmatam. When you don't make a bracha, you're reminding yourself. You know why I'm learning? I want people to call me a tzaddik. I want people to call me a Talmud Chacham. I need to do business with other Jewish people. I want people to see that I'm so great. V'lo nitkavnu lihit atzem ulihit davek bikdushat v'ruchaniyut ha-Torah. ulehamshich hashchina lemata ba'aretz v'chulei v'chulei. The reason why I'm supposed to learn Torah is for those reasons, to bring the Shechina down here, to bring Torah and godliness and Kedusha and Tahara into my life. And the Torah has nothing to do with that. If you don't recognize Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvotav, if you don't recognize V'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah, not to become, to call yourself a Talmud Chacham, not to do business, la'asok b'divrei Torah. Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim. The reason v'natan lanu torato tarat emet, depending on your nisach. I learned Torah because I had to know how to bring God here. If you learn Torah for another reason, let me clarify that. If Klal Yisrael learns Torah for another reason for a prolonged time, well then God says, what do I need the Mikdash for? The Mikdash is to bring the Shechina. Asuli Mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham. That's why I have a Mikdash for. So what's the point? You don't need the Mikdash. And again, that's only a short jump. If you're learning Torah so that people will call you a Talmud Chacham, and then you find yourself in a community that doesn't value that, then why should I keep learning? There are many people that have talents that you can't really do anything with them because nobody cares about them. Other people have talents. Apparently, the world that we have finding ourselves now in think that taking an orange ball and putting it through a hoop is a talent that we'll pay millions of dollars for. And I'm not talking about sports. I'm not talking about leisure. I'm just talking about we value where we send our money. And there are basketball players who make more money in a game than a teacher in a third grade teaching, you know, almost illiterate inner city children, she'll make in a career. Because one is more valuable than the other. So if I'm in a place that doesn't value Torah, and the only reason I'm learning Torah is to be called a Talmud Chacham, and the place doesn't value that, well, that's pretty close. It's a short jump to Lo Shamu V'Koli V'Lo Halchuva, a short jump again to Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayot and Shfichut Dami. And certainly the Beit HaMikdash is not needed anymore if it's not valued. That is the Bach. I want to share another answer. I don't have the source inside, but I'd like to share an answer from Rav Tzvi Yehuda HaKohen Cook. You saw him in the screen yesterday. Rav Tzvi Yehuda HaKohen Cook died in 1982. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of Merkaz HaRav. He was the son of Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook, and he says something in a very different direction. He says the bracha. Why do I make a bracha? The bracha reminds me before I learn. It's aser to learn until I make this bracha. There's a question, can I think in Torah? I had a cousin, my wife's cousin, came for Shabbos, last Shabbos, and he asked me what I thought about a person listening to a shir in Torah. Just your earphones, and I do it all the time, Baruch Hashem, I'm sure you do also, without making a bracha first. Is it called Hirhuri Torah, Hirhurim, which is mutter? But if it's so, then are you learning Torah when you're listening to a Torah tape?
Are you absorbing?
So that's, you are, but it's mutter to do it without a bracha. So then is it called Talmud Torah? So then, but then why are you allowed to do it without making a bracha? You're right, you shouldn't be. So maybe we have to change the definition.
Like, if I listen to your FIT, I'm still gaining knowledge.
You're not wrong, but again, we're faced with that halacha. The question is, I'm talking about thinking. Is listening to a shir online different than thinking? I don't know. I'm just saying it's a fascinating thing. So why do I... But I have to make a bracha before I learn. Says Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cohen Cook, the bracha reminds us Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim. The bracha that we make before learning Torah is Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim, the key to Birchot HaTorah is to remind ourselves, to internalize, and to recognize the chosenness of the Jewish people. You are special. You are unique. You are princes and princesses chosen by God. And I have to act special because of that. And I have to speak special because of that. If I forget that, if I forget Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Amim, then why am I learning? Then why am I following his Torah? And again, a short jump to all the things we mentioned in the second and third questions. I'm special. And if I am a prince, I have to act like a prince when I'm in the castle, and when I'm out in the streets, and at the gym, and the supermarket, and at the office. And I have to act appropriately in all those places because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me. Not because I'm afraid to go to jail. And not even because I'm afraid what people will think of me. Because Hashem told me to. And once I lose that, again, I can lose all the others. I wanted to share with your permission a fifth answer. Perhaps one can suggest the following idea. Birchot HaTorah, the bracha on the Torah, is absolutely, absolutely unique. And I'm not going to quote some of the next sources, but I'm going to mention them, refer to them. The Birchot HaTorah are halachically unique, and I think the reason why they're halachically unique is the answer to our question as well. You ready? It is the only bracha that lasts all day. There is no other bracha that lasts all day. I made a shahakol that wasn't part of my shir, but I just was thirsty, but it happens to be. I'm not giving away any secrets, but I made shahakol earlier today more than once. But I had to make it again now. Whether or not I said a boring nefashot, hopefully I did, I got to make a new one now. Sitting in the sukkah. Every other mitzvah expires. Every other mitzvah, if you have more of the mitzvah to do, I have to make a new bracha. Birchot HaTorah lasts all day. And not only that, you theoretically do not, me'ikar hadin, need to learn immediately after you make the bracha. You'll take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, it's the third source from the end. Yes, l'chatchila, you are supposed to. The Shulchan Aruch and many others disagree with what I just said. But it's there is an opinion that the Shulchan Aruch quotes that I can say, la'asok b'divrei Torah, asher bachar banu, time for work, and I'll learn this afternoon. Again, halachically, we do it. But the fact that there either is an opinion which says that you don't have to is mind-boggling. Not only that, the Mishnah Brura at the bottom of that source says, well, first the Shulchan Aruch says that if you, I'll read it, Shulchan Aruch Arachayim Simin Mem Zayin Seif Yud Im Hifsik Milil Mod V'nit Asek Be'asakav, if you learned in the morning from 9 to 10 and then you went to the bank, you went to the office, Kevan shedato lachzor lilmod lo have a hefsek. It's not a hefsek. It's not a hefsek. I went to the bank. I went to the office. I took a nap. I had lunch. I went for a jog. I took a shower. I went back to learn. No hefsek. V'hu hadin l'sheina. I just said it already. Umerchat u'beit akisei. Delo have a hefsek, and the Mishnah Brura. Who wrote the Mishnah Brura? Outstanding, the Chavetz Chaim, Rabbi Yisrael Meir HaKohen, died in 1933, I believe. He says, Le'olam leka hesach hadat. The reason why you do need to make a bracha all day long, You're supposed to. I'm saying that in quotes. Why don't you have to? Because there's no such thing as Hesach HaDat. If I sit in the sukkah for breakfast, I have a whole meal, benching, I get up, go to work. Okay, I won't talk about work during Chol HaMoed, but I go somewhere, I go on a tiyul with my family, I come back, I go for a jog, I take a shower, I do everything, and then it's time for lunch, or I did a lot in the morning, it's time for dinner, I have to make a new bracha. Why? Because I wasn't, there's a Hesach HaDat. But with Torah, there's no Hesach HaDat. With Torah, there is no Hesach HaDat. And that's Tosfot, that's the Shulchan Aruch, and this is Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik explains that, what do you mean there's no Hesach HaDat? I was working. I was jogging. Hopefully I was thinking about Torah, but the truth of the matter is the Gemara tells us that if I'm working for somebody else and I'm getting paid per hour, not per product, I'm not allowed to learn Torah in a way that's going to take me away. I'm stealing. So how can you tell me it's Hesach HaDat? Says Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik says he died in 1993. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva University until he died. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik that he's explaining Tosfot, which I skipped, but I'm referring to it, that there are two kinds of da'at. Like a true brisker, he's distinguishing between two kinds of da'at, which he translates into English as awareness. When I was in the sukkah, I was thinking about the sukkah, and when I left the sukkah, I was thinking about the tiyul and the jog and my business and whatever else I was thinking about. There was a Hesach HaDa'at. But with Torah, I did the exact same thing. There was no Hesach HaDa'at. There was no break in that da'at. There was no distraction. Why? Rabbi Soloveitchik distinguishes between two kinds of awareness or two kinds of da'at. One is what he calls acute awareness. Every single one of us in the room right now are acutely aware of the chair they're sitting in, of the pen they're using, of the person sitting next to them, of the person speaking to them. If you're a little bit too hot, you're acutely aware that it's too hot. If you're cold, you're acutely aware that it's too cold. If you're expecting a phone call, you're acutely aware of your phone. And that's fine. I could ask anyone in this room, and as soon as I do it, you're going to do it, but don't do it. But if I could ask anyone in this room for their parents' home phone number. Wait a minute, think about it, not out loud, think about it. Anybody forget their home phone number? Which is awkward, because not a lot of people use home phones anymore. Now, wait a second. Before I said, think about your home phone number, how did you remember your home phone number? Did you look it up? I didn't see a single person check their phone book. Their Rolodex. You knew it! How'd you know it? Well, how could you be aware of it? You were not acutely aware of it. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, you were aware of it in a different way. What he calls latent awareness. What we in colloquially will call in the back of our minds. The example that Rabbi Soloveitchik gives is a woman with a baby. She gave the baby to a babysitter and the mother's at work. At work, the mother is thinking about the work. If she's a lawyer, if she's a doctor, if she's a plumber, if she's whatever she is. For a split second, do you think the mother forgets her baby? Chalila. But does that mean she's thinking about him or her acutely? No. Latently. In the back of her head. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, that with many mitzvot, if we are acutely aware of the mitzvah, we don't make a new bracha. And if we are not, then we need to make a new bracha. Sukkah as an example. However, with Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, and we know that it is a vital component of our identity as a Jew. And it's actually impossible to ever forget the Torah. We do not say, Asher kirishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lilmod Torah. Because if it were true, then I agree 1,000%. When you're learning Torah, you're learning Torah, you get up to go jogging, you come back an hour later, new bracha, you weren't learning. With Torah, you are always, we are always latently aware of Torah. La'asok b'divrei Torah, to be engaged with Torah, to work with Torah. And that encompasses much more than the actual study of text. Study of text is limod Torah. La'asok b'divrei Torah is learning, and it's more than that. It refers to mental immersion and attachment to Torah that is present in our awareness at all times. And the huge chiddush is that even when you're sleeping, Torah is a part of my life. Torah is a part of my life. Rabbi Soloveitchik gives an example which I and a lot of people have experienced, but I remember more than one of our children. I only made this mistake once, but it happened more than once. But my oldest child was born, Baruch Hashem, Atara, when she was born. I remember somebody asking me early on, 2, 3, 4 months, we had a baby. I remember somebody asking me how she's sleeping. And I said, it's hard to believe, but she sleeps through the night. We were sitting at a Shabbos table, I was sitting here, Joe was sitting there, and I go, I think she's sleeping through the night. And I think that my black and blue mark on my shin is only now going away. You know, what do you mean sleeping through the night? And I promise you, well, I don't want to promise, I don't remember this exact example, but I think that if I heard the baby, I would have gotten up. I didn't hear the baby. But Joy, it's, I don't know, she heard it. Even in your sleep. So much so that it's hard to sleep even when the baby does sleep, because you think you heard. And I didn't seem to have that problem. And that's the way we are supposed to treat, not our children, that we should do what she did, not what I did, but with Torah. There's a latent awareness when it comes to Torah. And the reason we make this bracha once every day is to keep the consciousness going. But once I make that bracha, it's always there. And that's the Rabbi Soloveitchik on Birchot HaTorah. And I think that perhaps, I don't think Rabbi Soloveitchik said this, but I think perhaps one can suggest that this responds to our original question. Shelo berchu b'Torah tchila means that they didn't make Torah a part of their continual awareness. And once you don't make the Torah a part of your continual awareness, then it slowly fades. And then I'm a great Jew when I'm learning, but I kind of forget about it when I'm doing other things which are more important. And then if other things are more important than Torah, well, even my Torah learning is going to suffer both in quality and quantity. And again, it's a very slippery slope all the way to everything we described in the second and third questions. Torah must. Here we are just a few days. One can suggest a few hours before Matan Torah. And part of the idea is making the Torah a part of our lives. I want to end with the last two sources. This is a Mishnah in Masechet Kritut Daf Vav Aleph, the bottom of the page. And the Mishnah in Masechet Kritut records a question that Rabbi Akiva asked his Rebbeim His Rebbeim were Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yehoshua. So you know that this was right at or right after the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash. Anyway, the Mishnah there is speaking about an obscure topic in Gilui Arayot. Gilui Arayot between family members, and what kind of family, and how close family, and how far away family. And Rabbi Akiva's question, he didn't know the answer to the question. Rabbi Akiva's question is as follows. Amar, look at the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Sha'alti et Rabbi Gamliel ve'et Rabbi Yehoshua. I asked my Rebbeim, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yehoshua, be'itlis shel imam. And all of you have heard that word because we were there. It is today called Latrun. So I asked Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Gamliel at the meat market. In modern Hebrew, I think they're called an itliz, which is also in the Mishnah and Gemara, but anyway, the itliz shel imam, shehalchu likach behema, they went to go buy an animal, lemishte bino shel Rabbi Gamliel. Says Rabbi Akiva, my Rebbeim were shopping for food for Rabbi Gamliel's son's wedding, and they were at the shuk, literally a meat market, in Latrun. And I asked him the following question, haba al dot dot dot, very hard question, and the Mishnah doesn't go back. So that's it. This is where I asked the question, and it goes on. Look at the bottom of the page. Tosfot Yeshanim is a compilation of comments made by Ba'al et Tosfot to some Masechtot in Talmud Bavli, and listen to what he says. They say, if you're able to see the words, Tosfot Yeshanim, Shehalchu likach behema, to the bottom of the Gemara there. Shehalchu likach behema lemishteh. Can you read it? And I'm going to ask the following question in a little bit of a blunt way. Who cares where they were? I asked my Rebbe, we were shopping at Macy's, we were trying to get him new shoes for his son's bar mitzvah, and I asked him about a difficult question in, who cares? All of a sudden, I care what's on the menu at Rabbi Gamliel's son's wedding. If I know what they're buying, so maybe then I'll go to the wedding. If I don't know what's on the menu, I'm not going to go. Well, who cares? And the Mishnah is very frugal with its words. It wasn't supposed to be written down. These are index cards. These are not... So I'm spending words. Each word is worth a lot of money. You're going to waste your money on finding out where? Listen to what the Tosfot Yeshanim says. Lehodia. Shivchan. This Mishnah is teaching us a beautiful praise, a lesson, and praising Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yehoshua, and Rabbi Akiva. She'af alpi, shehayu trudin. They're working really hard. Anybody that has a sibling who got married or who's getting married, who's been home and all the... There's a lot going on. And you're spending a lot of money. And when Gamliel has a wad of cash in his money belt, and yet they're trudim, tarud. There, what does tarud mean? Burdened, heavy-minded. Afal pi shayu trudim, hayu oskim b'divrei Torah. They're learning Torah. They're buying food. Beautiful. They're helping out at home. Beautiful. But they're learning Torah along the way. And by the way, as I said to you, this question is so difficult that Rabbi Akiva didn't know the answer. He had to ask his Rebbeim what the answer was, and they gave an answer. There's a machloket in the Gemara what the halacha is. That we're always learning Torah. Sometimes we're learning Torah by discussing with our friends. Sometimes we're learning Torah by listening to a shir, Menuchah's right. Sometimes we're learning Torah on the bus with a small sefer if you're able to learn without getting nauseous. Sometimes we're learning Torah or osek ba-Torah by living al-piyah Torah. That's why we don't make any new bracha. Because we are always latently aware of kedushat ha-Torah and the gift of Torah. And so this is a phenomenally powerful message as we get closer to Matan Torah. Matan Torah is a very interesting thing because it's not entirely clear when Matan Torah was, and it's not entirely clear that it's directly connected to Shavuot. Go to Parashat Emor, Chaf Gimel, and Vayikra. You're not going to find a reason for Chag HaShavuot. And that perhaps because, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit later in more detail, the Torah is trying to downplay Torah, a message that you've heard here many times. If you have a sibling, what a shame it would be if you only expressed your love for that sibling on his or her birthday. It's the Mother's Day answer, the Father's Day answer. It's Father's Day every day. It's Torah Day every day. It's not just Torah Day every day. It's Torah all day, every day. Whether you're jogging or whether you're learning. And then I'm not equating the two. But regarding the bracha, they're the same. The trick, ladies, is that we look down on that generation for not making Birchot HaTorah. We make those Birchot HaTorah. It's written in the Art Scroll Siddur, so I say it. But the question is, am I any better than them? Do I live my life according to the answer of Rashi, or according to the answer of the Ran, or according to the answer of the Bach, or according to the answer of Tzviud HaKohen Cook, or according to the answer based on Rabbi Soloveitchik? Very nice answers. And I make brachot, so it's not really applicable to me. Or do I say, of course it's applicable to me? I make the bracha. The question is, do I internalize the messages of those brachot? And that changes everything in our day and in our lives in Mitzvah Hashem. Have a great evening, everyone.